I'm not going to bore you with the theological, the explanation of this. I actually wrote about a 21-page paper on the Davidic origin of Christ. And of course, we have to remember that the gospel was written to reaffirm the faith of believers. It was not yet written for the sake of entertainment. And so, therefore, it gives us an insight of how the Markan community or the community of St. Mark were composed of a mixture between both Jews and Gentiles. And so, therefore, this question was raised to see that whether Christ somehow just come from nowhere, or did he come to fulfill all of the prophecies that were tied to him? Yes, he is both the son of David and the son of God. He come from the lineage of David himself to fulfill the promises that had made to David. But much more than that, he comes as the son of God, eternally begotten and loved by God. So Jesus is not either or. He is not the son of God or the son of David. He is both the son of David and the son of God. He come to fulfill not only the prophecy according to humanistic or the political or social understanding. He came to save his people, the Israelites, not yet the people who are Israels, who live in Israel, but the people who are spiritual Israelites. Come back to the term Israel. What does it mean? The one who struggle with God. That's what it means. Israel, the one who struggle with God. Throughout salvation history, the Israelites always struggle with finding where is God in the midst of everything. So therefore, if we are spiritual Israelite, not necessarily from the ancestral heritage or descendants, but if we in our very own life struggle with God, we all share the same heritage. And Jesus, therefore, came to fulfill and to save us and to bring us who are struggling with our faith, struggling to find God, struggling in our own journey, to help affirm our faith that God is here. He had come to save us. He had come to redeem us. He had come to sanctify us. And he continued to transform us deep from within. Which leads us toward the first reading today, again, from the book of Tobit. And then you can see Tobit almost resign himself of saying that, oh, nothing good can come out of this. I'm going to be blind. He was giving up hope. He was on the verge of despair. And then his own son had to tell him, take courage, father. Take courage. Oftentimes, just because we're older doesn't mean that our faith is always strong. Sometimes we need people to reaffirm the existence and the presence of God in our life too. Take courage. God is with you. He's going to heal you even at the last moments where you and I do not recognize him, about to resign and give over everything. And how did God heal Tobit? Well, he got a pigeon poop over his eyes, which caused him to have a cataract. But in order to heal him, what would use? Fish gall. Ew. Nasty. Pungent. Smelling. The medicine that was going to heal him was going to be something that really would be ignored, and I don't want to do that by modern medication standard. And then, did you hear what Tobias had to do in order to peel off the cataract? Imagine the pain. Huh? Put the fish gall on there and peel it off. But you know, very real thing. That sometimes healing, it doesn't come easy. Healing doesn't come like, hey, God, snap your finger, make it done. Sometimes it means that it's going to be something that we don't expect, something that going to challenge us to the edge. But God heals. Huh? God heals us, and He wants us to be restored because He's always present to us. That's why the archangel Raphael or Raphael went on the journey with Tobias when he visited his own father. Again, the root word for Raphael means God is my healer, or God heals me. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, understand what we are doing throughout this whole month of June. We come to the devotion of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, the one who wants to heal us, the one who wants to transform us, not according to our standards, not to make life easy, but His Sacred Heart reminds us that He pointed to the heart that is covered and surrounded by the crown of thorns, the heart that hurts, the heart that experiences pain and sufferings for the love of humanity, for the love of all. If we're called to have the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, may we be moved, even at times when it hurts so much, to love as He had loved, and to bear upon our own self too the heart that frees humanity from its own selfishness or its own hopelessness and despair.